Father, we thank you for this time. We ask that your word speak to our hearts and our minds this morning, Father. Help us be able to better not only love you, Father, but as we love you more, we will be able to love each other more. And that you will just build us into people who show grace and love and mercy, for it is so needed in our world. We love you, Father. Amen. Well, I don't know about you, but this was not a good week for me. It was a week that was messy and it was horrible at best. And honestly, I don't know what I would have done this week if Jesus wasn't my shepherd. I appreciate this morning that we're going to start with this parable of the shepherd and the sheep. Jesus is identified throughout the scriptures by a lot of names. I mean, he is known as the Alpha and Omega, the Advocate, the Apostle, the Author and Perfecter of Faith, and yes, these are alphabetical, Author of Salvation, Beginning, Bread of Life, Counselor, Deliverer, Eternal Father, First and Last, Great High Priest, the One Holy God, Emmanuel, Light of the World, Lord of Glory, I like that one, Messiah, Prince of Life, Prince of Peace, Righteous One, Savior, True God, the Way, the Truth, and the Life. And every one of these names are absolutely true about Christ and to help define who Christ is. But I think for me, no other name other than the Good Shepherd comforts me the way this one does. This is the name of Christ who guides us and comforts us. As I was preparing for this week, I started thinking about sheep. And as I thought about sheep, I thought, you know, sheep are a great argument against evolution. I mean, they simply cannot take care of themselves. Without a shepherd, sheep will stray into places they shouldn't go and they can't get out of. In fact, sheep are known to come up to an outcropping and they'll jump down 10, 15, 20 feet to get to a small patch of grass and then not be able to get back out. And when they can't get back up, they begin to bleat. And the shepherd hears them crying and bleeding, and he will go and rescue them and pull them back up to safety. See, so there's just no way sheep could have evolved. They would have died along the way. So for Jesus to compare people and sheep, I think is an accurate comparison. Because without God to set boundaries, without God to care for us, we are just like the sheep. We will end up in trouble because of our sin nature, and we are spiritually dead without Christ. And if you don't think that's true, all you have to do is sit in a mall or a coffee shop for a little while and observe the people around you, and it becomes obvious how true it is that we desperately need Jesus as our Lord and Savior. So the imagery of a shepherd leading and caring for the sheep was also very common in Palestine at the time of Christ. And so it makes sense that Jesus would use this imagery in this parable. I mean, after all, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were shepherds, and God used them to lead his people. Moses and David had been shepherds, and God used this time of their shepherding to change them and prepare them so they would be able to lead his people. These men then were shepherds, or as we'll learn in a little bit, under shepherds of God that God sent for the care of his people. However, by the time Jesus comes onto the scene and comes to the earth, we see that there are many false shepherds. There are people who want everybody to believe that God has sent them and they're special. But in truth, they're there to fleece the sheep. They're there for their own gain. They were false shepherds and they were self-serving shepherds. Today, it's the same. The broad church, if we could talk about it in a very general sense, is made up of many denominations, factions, and sects. But this is not the true church. Jesus is the true church of Jesus is concerned primarily with the Word of God, not the desires of men. Just as Jesus was the true shepherd at the time he came to the earth, and just as he was the true shepherd that guided the early church, even though he was resurrected, today Jesus continues to be the true shepherd of the remnant church. The church, not the general church that wants to identify with Jesus because it's convenient, the church that wants to identify with Jesus but wants to do what they desire, not what God desires, but I'm talking about the remnant church, the church that loves Christ and lives the Word of God. So then for Jesus to use this parable and talk about those who truly love God, hear Him, His voice, and recognize it as the shepherd, and they don't recognize a stranger's voice. It's true today. We find safety in Christ. We find hurt in the world. But Christ teaches us and brings us joy even amidst turmoil. And we learn His voice. So when we hear the voice of the stranger, when we hear the voice of those telling us to do the things that will hurt us, we know not to obey that voice. As we begin chapter 10 in verse 1, Jesus is telling this parable to the Jewish leadership and the people, and He's telling them right after He has healed the blind man and made him see. And we know that's true by verse 21 at the end of the verses we'll use today, because it refers to him healing the blind man. But if we go to chapter 10, verse 1, if you have your Bibles, open them up, because there's too many verses really to put up on the screen this morning. So if you'll follow along in your Bibles, and I'll read. It says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep will follow because they know his voice. A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of the strangers." This is exactly what we talked about with the children this morning and my dog. It ends with verse 6. It says, "The figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things were which he had been saying to them." So Jesus uses this common concept of a shepherd and his sheep because it was something that the people could relate to. I mean, the Jewish people had been shepherding sheep for thousands of years. Yet, it appears by verse 6 that some people didn't get it. They didn't understand what Jesus was trying to explain to them in this parable. Let me talk a little about the relationship between a shepherd and a sheep. The sheepfold was an enclosure that was meant to protect the sheep at night. As the picture shows, there is only one way in and one way out. The wealthier shepherds would hire a person to tend the sheep at night. But the more modest of mean shepherds, the poorer shepherds, would tend their own sheep, and they would sleep in the doorway, keeping the sheep in the fold and the predators out. Any person who climbed the walls of the sheepfold was there for one reason, to steal the sheep. This is why Jesus says in verse 1, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber." We know from our past studies, when somebody says, "Truly, truly," they are using the phrase to show that what they're going to speak of that is following is important, and they want you to listen. We often use the Greek version when we say, "Amen, amen." When we say amen, we do it in prayer. We do it as a community in public to recognize that something is of God and is true. This phrase was a common phrase used at the time of Christ, "truly, truly," or "amen, amen," to show importance when something was going to be shown to be true. Jesus says in verse 2 and 3, "But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out." See, the shepherd would lead his flock of sheep during the day. He would move them from pasture to pasture to where there's green and tender grass for the sheep to graze on. He would talk to the sheep, and he called each sheep by name. In fact, shepherds often sang softly to their sheep because it would comfort them when they were nervous or scared. As the day closed, the shepherd then would lead his sheep back to the sheepfold. And as he reached the sheepfold, the shepherd, as he put each sheep in, he would examine that sheep to see if it had been hurt during the day, if it needed any attention, to make sure that he took care of it. Now, it was common at that time for several shepherds to use the same sheepfold. So as they brought their sheep in from grazing during the day, the sheep would freely mix and spend the night together and sleep together. Then the next morning, as the sheep were brought out of the fold, the shepherds would again talk to the sheep and call them by name, and the sheep by themselves would separate into their own flocks and follow the shepherd because they recognized his voice and they trusted him. This pattern of the shepherd and the sheep worked well, with the exception if something happened to the shepherd, which we see in verses 4 and 5. It says, "When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep will follow him because they know his voice. A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers." So the sheep follow the voice of the shepherd. They know and trust the shepherd because they know his voice. However, a problem arose if the shepherd became sick or died, because he would have to send somebody to care for the sheep in his place, and the sheep didn't recognize their voice, so they would tend to scatter, and the temporary shepherd would go crazy trying to get this herd or flock of sheep all together and to obey. So just like the sheep, people know the voice and the truth of Jesus when they open their hearts to him. But if they will not listen, then they will scatter and lose their way in life and suffer because of that. See, Jesus is telling us here in this part of the passage that there is a difference between the true shepherd who cares for the sheep and protects them and the false shepherd. The Jewish leaders, of which the Pharisees were the most common, were no longer following the voice of God and shepherding the people to feed upon God And to know God, so in truth, they were false shepherds who served the purposes of Satan. In verse 1 and verse 8, Jesus refers to these false shepherds as thieves and robbers. Here you can look that they want to steal the physical sheep, but Jesus is talking about they want to steal the spiritual life of his sheep. The Apostle Peter made it clear that we as Christians are to be of sober spirit and we are to be on alert, because if we don't listen to Christ and we listen to false shepherds, then the adversary, the devil, prowls like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. See, Jewish leaders at the time of Jesus Christ and Jewish leaders during the time of the early church and false shepherds this very day have always been trying to destroy the church of Jesus Christ from within. That is one of the main approaches Satan uses. See, the only true shepherd is Jesus. He does send what we call under shepherds, like Abraham and Moses and David, and he sends them to help guide his people in the way of God. However, under shepherds guide the people as God directs. The under shepherd knows that the guide God has given for the direction of his people is the breath of the Bible and not the whims and fads of men, which we see throughout history and we see this very day. Since many of the people didn't understand the point that Jesus was trying to make in this parable and its meaning, Jesus then restates this parable again with a slightly different emphasis. I'll begin reading at verse 7 again. It says, "So Jesus said to them again, 'Truly, truly,'" so listen up, "'I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep do not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." See, again, Jesus begins with "truly, truly" to emphasize what he says is true and important, and he wants them to listen up. Jesus is not only the shepherd that guards the door to the sheepfold, but Jesus is the door. And remember that there's only one small door in a sheepfold for people or sheep to come in and out of. And Jesus is saying not only is he the door, he is the only way, and that way is narrow. The Jewish leaders are saying, on the other hand, that they know the way to worship God and know God, but their way is not the way of the Scriptures anymore. They've walked away from the Scriptures. They steal people's ability to know God, worship God, enjoy God, and serve God because they no longer teach and preach God. Jesus makes clear in verse 9, he says, "I am the door. If anybody enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." If one desires to know God, if one desires to be a child of God, then the only way they can have a relationship with God the Father is through Jesus Christ, God the Son. And when one receives salvation through faith by believing in Jesus as the Christ, it says they will be saved and they will feed upon God for spiritual life. Even when the world is in turmoil, when there is evil around us, we as believers can feed upon God and the green pastures of His Word And we have spiritual life, which is eternal. And this world is only for a breath. Jesus continues using this imagery of the shepherd and his sheep as we continue reading in verse 11. It says, I am the good shepherd. I love that title. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming. And he leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Even the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also and they will hear my voice and they will become one flock. With one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it up again. Speaking of his resurrection. No one takes it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have the authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it up again. This commandment I receive from my Father. Just as a shepherd will lay down his life to protect his flock, Jesus will lay down his life so that people may come back to God and have a relationship with him once again. The false shepherds, the leaders and the prophets are not only thieves and robbers who are self-serving, but they are like a hired hand. And when trouble comes, they flee because they're concerned about themselves and not the sheep. They are not the under-shepherds that Jesus, the chief shepherd, has sent. For they have no concern for the sheep. Unlike the Pharisees, who are false shepherds, Jesus is the true shepherd, and Jesus is the good shepherd. For he cares for his sheep and gave his life for them. Reading in verses 14 and 15, it says, I am the good shepherd. And I know my own and my own know, I know my own and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. See, God, it says God knows Jesus. The word know here, when you look it up, means to know intimately, to know completely. So not only does God know Jesus completely, it says Jesus knows God intimately and completely. So Jesus is the only one who can ever say, I know my own and my own know me. Jesus knows all who God has called to salvation, and he will not lose a single one. As Jesus calls them and spiritually awakens their souls, it's natural as his children, as his sheep, they seek comfort. From the good shepherd, they seek comfort from Jesus. In verse 16, which has caused a lot of division among scholars and people, Jesus said, I have other sheep, which are not of this fold. I must bring them also that they may hear my voice, and they will become one flock and one shepherd. So let me start out first by saying what Jesus is not telling you here. As the Mormons claim that he will go to other planets and bring salvation to other people on other planets and bring them back to God, that is not what Jesus is saying here. What Jesus is saying is that there are more sheep that are not yet in the sheepfold and should be brought into the sheepfold. Jesus understood that his mission on earth involved the gathering of other sheep or Gentiles so that all might become one flock. Jews and Gentiles alike who believed in Jesus as the Messiah would be brothers and sisters in Christ. The issue was significant then, and it's significant for us today. Because when Jesus talks about other sheep, he's talking that there are other people from other cultures, other languages, other tribes, and other countries that need to know about Jesus so that all the sheep can belong to one flock, since there is only one shepherd, and that shepherd is Jesus Christ. Those who are not of the flock of Jesus are goats, and they're referred to in the book of Matthew. It says, when the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, and He will put the sheep on His right hand and the goats on His left. So just as we saw earlier in John, the tares are allowed to grow among the wheat and then are separated at the time of harvest. So too, in the final judgment, Jesus will separate the children of God from those who claim to know Jesus, but in truth, never knew Him. He will separate believers from unbelievers. As we close out this passage this morning, we'll read from verses 19 to 21. It said, after Jesus had said these things, a division occurred among the Jews because of these words. Many of them were saying, He has a demon and is insane. Why do you listen to Him? Others were saying, these are not the sayings of one demon possessed. A demon cannot open the eyes of the blind, can he? See, from John's narrative, we can surmise that some did hear Jesus, which is always the case. Some hear and many don't, because it says there a division occurred among the Jews. Now, the word Jews here is not referring to the Jewish people. The word Jews here is referring to the leadership of the Jewish people, the Pharisees and Sadducees and the political leaders. However, most of the leadership thought Jesus was demon-possessed, and debate ensued with some saying that he was demon-possessed and others who were saying, these are not the sayings of one demon-possessed. A demon cannot open the eyes of the blind, can he? As it is today, most people in our world have no desire to know God. They've already made up their minds. It doesn't matter what the facts are. It doesn't matter that the scriptures have been proven true for thousands of years. It doesn't matter that history shows the Bible is accurate and true. They've made up their mind. They don't want to know God. They have this desire within them to figure out what is the meaning of life and what is it all about and why am I here? But they want to find any answer they can except that it has to do with God. Because, see, by our sin nature, we do not want to recognize or acknowledge God, because if we acknowledge God, then we become accountable to God. So, in truth, they have closed their ears, their hearts have become stone, and they do not hear the calls of God. As I was looking at this today, how does it apply to us? Well, I think for our sakes and for the sake of the lost, it is important for us not only to hear the voice of our good shepherd and follow Jesus, but Jesus said He came that we may have life and have it abundantly. He wants us to enjoy this relationship with Him. And when we live for Christ and enjoy this relationship with Christ, then we can do as St. Francis of Assisi had said, preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. We've all met people who words and lifestyles don't match. It is my prayer then, my beloved, my brothers and sisters, it's my prayer that we will live holy lives, that we will hear the word of God, that we will live with joy for Christ, so that the lost may come to see a glimmer of Jesus through who we are. Father, we do pray that we not only hear Your voice, but we will live up to your voice. We will follow your voice. We will live holy lives. Lives not of rules and sadness, but lives of joy. That you are our God and our King and our good shepherd. And as we live lives to the fullest, those around us will come to see what Jesus does to somebody when they surrender their lives to him. Father, we ask that you help us be faithful. You help us live holy lives so that we may honor you and glorify you all the days of our lives. We praise your name. Amen.